Turn again to Revelation chapter number 6. I have somewhat bogged down. It's because I made up my mind when I taught Revelation this time that I was really going to spend more time explaining things. Then we had some questions at the end of the service last Wednesday. And I feel like I'm going to address two or three of them. Go back to Revelation 6. We're talking about these, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and we have dealt with the deceiver. And by the way, the devil is a deceiver. Amen. Yes, and the Bible said in Matthew 24 and also in Revelation 6, he's going to come as a deceiver and he's going to deceive the world. He's going to deceive Israel. He's going to have a one world church. Hello. Now, I had a question last week. Let me share this. Brother Justin came to me after service. I did a phrase last week, and he came to me after service. He said, "Well, I've never heard the phrase." Now, I'm going to give you the phrase, and I want y'all to give me a little honesty. If you're unfamiliar with the phrase, you tell me. But he asked me, because I was dealing with deception, and then we talked about the war, and I'll read these verses again. You know, the Antichrist comes on a white horse with a bow and no arrows. He's going to be a negotiator. He's a liar. How many believe he's a liar, and the devil's a liar? But I mentioned something last week, and I may just address it tonight, especially with a lot of weird stuff going on in our world and also our religious world. Because I get a lot of people say, "Well, is that real? Well, is that really right?" I want to tell you what, there's only one way to find out if something's right. If the Holy Spirit, with the Word of God, it can pass the Holy Spirit test and the Word of God test. Amen. Hey, amen. Amen. Now, here was the phrase. I want to ask, and I want you, if you're unfamiliar with the phrase, just raise your hand because that'll tell me I may need to explain it a little bit. Ecclesiastical separation. How many's unfamiliar with it? Oops. That's several. Now, I'm going to share this tonight because I think it's important. Now, in Revelation 6, it talks about the Antichrist coming as a deceiver. And Matthew 24 said there'll be many false Christs claiming to be Christ, claiming to be the real deal. Now, I get flack. Can I tell you that? You said, "Nah, not you." Yes, I do. I'm going to tell you why I get flack. Because I believe in personal separation. Be as separate as I am separate. Be as holy as I am holy. How many agree that born again Christians ought to be different from the world? And don't tell me if some homosexual crowd gets up to try to lead a religious revival, that's God's word and God's will, I'm looking you right in your eyeball and telling you, you don't have a clue what you're thinking. I'm going to say this, and I don't want to get no flack here. Well, I'm going to get it anyway. A lot of the movements today are women-driven movements, or women-called-to-preach movements. That's absolutely against your Bible. It doesn't say, I ain't saying women can't lead. Nobody, I'm not saying don't confuse apples and oranges. But God never called a woman to be a pastor. Now I do believe there's women that teach other women and instruct children. I believe that's great. The Bible even talks about that. And we've got some women in our church that's gifted talking to women. Amen. It's great. I'm for it. But when they cross that line to usurp authority over man and also try to be a pastor and lead some kind of movement, you can mark right down in the Bible, that doesn't match up. And that's when I talk about ecclesiastical separation. See, there's going to be a one world church. I want y'all to know this. Can I give you a history lesson? How many are y'all up to it? I don't know if I'll get all this in again tonight because I'm going somewhere. Can I give you a little history lesson? We had the church start. Then through the ages, they were different movements. By the way, Constantine, in 300 A.D., made the church a state. Or the state of church. Hello? It's universalism. That was the birth of Catholicism. Well, I think somebody ought to tell the truth. And then years went through, and then some people in that movement saw that it was wrong, men like Martin Luther and others. And they read in the book of Romans, the just shall live by faith. And that some of those groups got, they were called the reformers. They left the state church. Come on, help me a little bit here. They left the state church. And that's where you got your denominations. Such as Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, etc., etc., etc. And in this last day, here's what's happened. That group of churches are heading back to mother. And we're in what is called, listen to me. How about this word? The ecumenical movement. Saying this, doctrine doesn't matter, scripture doesn't matter, let's all just agree. And a lot of the movements you see today is nothing but emotion driven. Oh, I'm just preaching the truth. And not built upon the Word of God. And then there's people like us and some Christians I know that look at this and say, man, that's got to be of God. Absolutely not. Not everything that has the earmarks of Christianity is real. Let me give you another verse. I didn't know I was going to get here. But I thought I'll just do it. Amos says this, can two to walk together if they don't agree? Now, I am not talking about having differences of opinion on what color carpet to have. The deacons and trustees, whatever they say, they're all one board here at our church, and whatever they say on what color carpet is, fine with me. And these are better kind of chairs, fine with me. I ain't debating with you over a chair or a carpet. That's ridiculous. But you look me right in my eyeball. I will debate with you over doctrine. And there are some things that are absolute convictions, absolute Bible truth that cannot be crossed over. And when they do, that's when you get into error. And how can two walk together if you don't agree? And a lot of people say, why don't you have some of these charismatic guys in your church? Because I don't agree with them. Why don't you ask some Methodists and some of them people to preach in that Jubilee? Because I'm not going to do it. Because that's crossing a line. See, the Antichrist, that's... Hey, by the way, how many of y'all agree God's not the author of confusion? I want all y'all to know, I'm not going to let anybody preach that don't believe in eternal security. I'm not going to let anybody preach that doesn't believe in salvation by grace through faith plus nothing minus nothing. I'm not going to let anybody preach unless they preach the principles of God. You say, you're narrow. No, the Bible's narrow. And Jesus said, narrow is the way that leadeth to life. Amen. Said straight is the gate. But broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, will enter into heaven. And there's a lot of things, a lot of people that's in religious movements that are not saved, not born again. And by the way, I'm just going to tell you, if a person believes their baptism saves them, they're lost. If a person believes that you've got to speak in tongues to be saved, they're lost. There's one movement. It's called the Jesus Only Movement. I'll tell you about it. You want to really find out wacko backo and far off? Let me just give you far off. Here's what they believe. They believe you repent. Then you get baptized for the remission of sins, and your baptism is essential for your salvation. But it didn't stop there. They don't do it in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. They do it in the name of Jesus because they're Jesus only. And then the only way those folks know they're saved is when they come out of the water, they speak in tongues. How many of y'all did that? Well, they believe you're dying and going to hell if you didn't do that. But I kind of think they're dying and going to hell if they're doing that. That's false teaching. And how can you agree with false teaching? How can you yoke up with false teaching? And that's ecclesiastical separation and personal separation. I want you to know something. You make sure your children, when they date somebody that believes the Bible right. When they're young and their mind's about half crazy. Amen. They got hormones flying everywhere and they can't think right. Amen. They fell into lust, not love. And by the way, we see that a lot, and I want you to know the end of that's going to be destruction, because it's a lot easier to pull somebody down than lift somebody up. Am I preaching? I didn't know I was going to say all this tonight, but you're the one brought it up, Brother Justin. So what I'm trying to say to you, let me read another verse. I know I'm jumping around, but there is going to be a harlot church, harlot church in the book of Revelation. How many know that? How many know it? Sure you do. All right. That harlot church is a false church. But she's religious. She has a false prophet over her. And she's religious. Well, how did they get duped? They believed in deception. They believed in the Antichrist lying, the false prophet lying. And they yoked up. And we see that today. It really bothers me. And somebody might say, well, you're not going to build a great church and not just allow everything. Well, we're doing it. I don't think you have to allow everything to have a great church. I don't think you got to change your music to some rock and roll bunch of junk that nobody understands. I don't believe that. I just don't believe it. And that's why you got to get in the Word of God and you got to realize what the Word of God says. And by the way, the Holy Spirit will point it out. And by the way, if you ain't got the Holy Spirit in you, you'll not know any difference anyway. But if you got the Holy Spirit in you, you can tell something ain't right. just not preach much anymore. You got me into this, so. Am I all right? Anybody got a question? I'm good. If it's crazy, I ain't going to answer it, but I'm serious. Have you got a question about ecclesiastical separation? Personal separation? It's not preached much today. I'll tell you what's happened. Even in our Baptist churches, there's some of these guys getting so liberal and loose on everything. Well, they are. They are. Their music's so crazy. It's built on emotion. Come on now. I want you to know something. If there's somebody got enough nerve to get up in a Baptist church and speak in tongues, then something's wrong. I bet they don't do it here. Because we teach the Bible. We don't put up with foolishness. God's not a God of confusion. I may believe that. Am I preaching all right? I haven't even really gotten a lesson, but I'm answering questions from last week. Now, another question last week, and then I'll get, maybe I'll get into more of the teaching tonight again on these four horsemen. There's something I want to go back over tonight. But Antoinette's not here tonight. But if you're listening on live stream, Antoinette, this is for you. She got a little bit puzzled, a little bit shaken by something I said last week. When I made the statement that the Antichrist in the middle of the tribulation period would walk into the temple and declare himself to be God, she went, whoop, kind of got her shook. Well, I understand. Now, let me tell you what the Antichrist is not going to do. He's not going to go into the heavenly third heaven and claim himself to be God. But I want to give you something. This is something you might write down in your notes. There will be two temples built in the future. Hello? One will be a tribulation temple. You said, can you prove that? I wouldn't say it if I couldn't prove it. Because Matthew 24 says this. Go over there with me. She mentioned this and it kind of got her alarmed. I think she just thought that the devil could go up into heaven and have a heyday. Into the third heaven. But here's, if you got Matthew 24, go there. Say amen when you get there. Go to verse 15. And when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, that's the Antichrist, spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Holy place is the temple worship behind the veil. That's the holies of holy, the holy place, of course, where the candelabra is. Amen. And the bread, the shoe bread. And he'll stand there. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. So right in the middle of the tribulation. By the way, you're not going to be there if you're saved. The Antichrist is going to stand and declare himself to be God. And you know what he's going to do? They've already been one man in history who is spoke of in Daniel. His name was Antiochus Epiphanes, and I might get that last word wrong. He in 158, I believe, stood in the Jewish temple and poured did a sacrifice, a pig sacrifice in the temple. Well, the Antichrist is going to do the same thing. He's going to come and desecrate all that is holy, break the peace back with Israel, and claim himself to be God. And there's going to be a boatload of people follow him. They'll take the mark of the beast. They'll sell out to the devil and be lost as they can be. Hello. That's one temple. And by the way, you might ask, where is that going to be? You people that are going with me that went with me last time, and I hope I get you up there. It really going to depend on what kind of mood the Palestinians is in. I just tell you all that. When we about going up in the Temple Mount. But my hope is to take you up there, and I'll give you an idea where the new temple's going to be. It's going to be right, that temple's going to be right where that Dome of the Rock is. And guess what? Let's go back to Scripture. How many heard me say that the Antichrist is going to be a deceiver? He's not just going to deceive Israel. He's going to deceive the Palestinians and the Arabs. Because he's going to talk them in to let him have that land to build the temple back. Then, I'll give you a study, and I may mention it when we get there. But I want to give you this real quickly. That there is going to be a millennial temple. Hello? You say, where can I find that? I'm not going to teach that tonight completely, but you can find it in the 10 chapters of Ezekiel 40 to Ezekiel 50, and you'll find that millennial temple and the measurement of that millennial temple in those chapters, and you'll see and get an idea of what's going to happen. By the way, there'll be temple worship during the millennial kingdom. Amen. You say, I don't understand that. I don't understand it all myself. But there is. And they're going to offer sacrifices. And their sacrifices are going to point back to what Christ done. And the sacrifices in the Old Testament pointed forward to what Christ had done. And by the way, his atonement is what takes us to heaven. Amen. All right. Y'all with me? Everybody alive? All right. I'm watching you. Now, let's go back to Revelation 6 and try to finish these horsemen up if I can. Is it all right if I backpedal a little bit? I'm going to backpedal a little bit. Now, turn to Revelation 6 and let's read those verses. I'll explain them again. We were on the third horse, the black horse, when we closed last week. And then we're going to do the pale horse. But let's read over and let's go over this one more time. Then I'm going to give you, how many got your notes that says the coming wars of the end times? Okay, I hope you got those tonight. Let's go to Revelation 6. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were of a noise of a thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I beheld a white horse. That's not Christ. And he that sat on him had a bow. Christ has a rod or a sword that proceedeth out of his mouth. And a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and they should be kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Now let's stop there a moment. I give you a handout. The reason I give you this handout, I want you to try to get your imagination. Now, how many familiar with the verse I give you out of Matthew? There'll be wars and what? Let's say it again. There'll be wars and... See, the Battle of Armageddon actually is a group of wars leading up to the last one. But may I say something to you? Now hold a minute. Look up at me. Y'all checking me out? But I want y'all to know something. The Battle of Armageddon isn't the last war. You sure? I thought it was. You never heard me say that. No, there's one war after that. Wow. That's why we got to rightly divide the word of truth and try to find out where these wars land. Because if you want to be, your eschatology to be accurate and right, you got to know basically when this stuff's happening. All right? I'm convinced from 3 on, I can tell you for certainty where those happen. The first 2 of these wars, I can't. Now, and it's called, one of them, found in Psalm 83, is called the War of Extermination. Now, there's 2 wars. Now, look at Pastor Smith. There's 2 wars that I think is going to happen somewhere between now and the tribulation period. 2. Now, and I think one of them has to happen first for the second one to happen. Now, I'm going to give you an overview. Don't get shook up. I'm just going to give you an overview. In Psalm 83, it talks about a war of extermination. And it says that this war and the purpose of this war in verse 4 of Psalm 83 is trying to wipe Israel out as a nation. And who they're going to be fighting, look at me, is the Lebanon, Syria, Gaza, Jordan, all those states that's right around Israel are going to, hey, by the way, before the war of Russia happens, go study out 38th and 39th chapter of Ezekiel. Israel's going to lay their arms down. And I want you to know they're not laying their arms down right now. You know why? Because they get rockets sent to them from Gaza, from Lebanon, from Hezbollah, from Syria. Amen. And this battle, or this war, is going to happen, and it's called the War of Extermination, where those nations are going to be destroyed by Israel. Then Israel's going to feel like they're at peace. And that's when the Russian bear, y'all want to know why Russia is doing what she's doing today? How many of you ever thought about it? Back when Ronald Reagan was president, how many, anybody old enough here to remember him? Remember what he said to Gorbachev? He said, tear down that wall. Well, my fundamental brothers, here's what they done. They started changing their doctrine. They said, well, then that means Ezekiel 38 and 39, Russia's done with, and their states have dissolved themselves, and they're done with, and Russia's no more a threat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Russia's more of a threat today than she's ever been before. Because she's desperate. And I want y'all to look at me. She is going to have used nuclear weapons. She's going to do that. I know some of you might think, no, she's not. Oh, yes, she is. And she's going to come against Israel, read 38 and 39 when you go home. And there's going to be a confederacy there, Turkey, Germany, Libya, and I can name the whole Iran. By the way, right in your spyglass today. Though that confederacy is going to come down against Israel. And you know what, God? Hey, Israel's not going to beat them. God's going to put a hook in the Russia's jaw, and all but a... what is it? A seventh or a seventh chance? All but a seventh of Russia is going to be destroyed. God's going to destroy them. And then it's going to take... Now, I'm going to give you something that's important. Remember, we've been talking about this red horse, wars and rumors of wars. I want to give y'all something tonight. Y'all ready for it? You ready for it? Now, listen to this carefully. How many year of tribulation is it? 7? Right. How many? 7. You're right. Wait a minute. You go read about the weapons of war. It's going to take 7 years to destroy and bury the weapons of war of Russia. So the question is, where does that battle take place? Now, I know exactly when the rest of it takes place. But when does the war of Russia take place? And I'm going to let your teacher tell you tonight. If you got a question, it'd be a good time to breathe it out. Here's a false statement. I'm going to give you a false statement. You want to hear a false statement? Here's a false statement. A false statement is that the rapture is what starts the tribulation. That is an absolute false statement. False. Rapture does not. All the rapture does, it takes the church out before the tribulation. Here's what your pastor believes. I don't know how long, but I believe there's a gap between the rapture and when that Antichrist is revealed. And I think there'll be two things happen, the war of extermination and the war with Russia. And that is when the Antichrist, at the end of the war of Russia, Jeff, is able to make a peace pact with Israel, because the world will be in chaos. And this deceiver will come and make a peace pact. Now, y'all with me? Now, Cece, look at your chart. And I'll give you these, and I'd like for you to go read about them, study them. I really would. Now, look. Though I cannot, Joe, tell you exactly where the war of extermination and the war with Russia is, the first war of Russia, whoops, I give something away. You said first war? I thought they killed all of them but 1/7. Hold it. I'm going to show you where Russia's going to be involved again. How many of y'all have never heard some of this? Well, that's okay. Yeah, because you don't hear it, you've never heard it, don't mean it ain't right. Now get this. When the white horse turns into a red horse, and he turns into a war man, that first war in the first half of the tribulation is a conventional war. Because they use swords. Things that they use in a conventional war. It'll be like tanks and rockets, but it won't be nuclear. And by the way, as I finish the lesson tonight, you're going to find out that 1/4 of the world's population is going to die because of war, famine, and pestilence. You've seen that in Revelation 6. We talked about the pale horse coming back. And there's a, by the way, famine always follows war. And then death follows war and pestilence. And if you think this coronavirus, and by the way, I know there's a bunch of liberals that spun something at the beginning of this coronavirus. If you don't believe that came out of China, you don't have enough sense coming out of the rain. I know it's China made. I know it was made in a laboratory. I'm just still deciding. I think they intentionally done it. But that's just me. That's mythology. Y'all can take it for what you want. But that bunch of heathen, do you not know they're going to be playing a part of the last days, because there's going to be a 200 million army that will come from the east through the river Euphrates. Who do you think that is? It's China. And we got a government right now compromising with them. Amen. Coddling them. Boy, there's a lot of stuff I like preaching tonight, but I'll make so many people mad. It'd be bad. I'll make the NBA mad. They're so tied up with China and their goods. And any of you watch that NBA, probably half out of your mind. Well, it's a fact. Our world is endowed to them. And we ain't got enough guts to say something to them about what they've done to us. Good preaching, Reverend. And I know some of you think I'm a radical. I am a radical, but I'm practical. All right. Revelation 6. And when the red horse appears, that'll be a conventional war. Remember, wars and rumors of war. And if you read Revelation 9 through 12, I'll get to that when we go through all that. But I want to give you this. There will be a nuclear war during the tribulation period. That will be during the Revelation 9 through 12. I'll deal with that. Then there's going to be a war in heaven. Now, look at me. How many of y'all know where the devil has access right now? Tell me if you know where he has access. He has access of the air. He can go up and accuse the brethren. But I want to tell you, Michael and his angels is going to fight the devil and his angels, and they're going to be cast out on the ground. Right now, the prince of the power of the air. That's found, that war is found in Revelation chapter number 12. The war in heavens. Man, I want to tell you, God's going to kick him out once for all. My Lord, I feel some preach coming. Let me give you something right now. I don't know if y'all know this or not, but the devil goes outside the gate right now of heaven and accuses the brethren. He did it to Job. He does it to you. You say, why isn't he successful? Because I've got a mediator. Because I've got somebody at the right hand of God making intercession for us. And when he blames us, I want to tell you, there's one thing that's pointed out to him. Look at that John Smith. He's washed in the blood. He has my righteousness. He was saved by the grace of God. Y'all have a good time. All right, hold on. Then in Revelation 12 also, there's going to be a war against the Jews and the saints. Now, I have a theory. Everybody has theories. Now, if you read Matthew 24, it looks like if you think the German Holocaust was bad, the Holocaust against the Jews during the tribulation period is going to be well worse than the Holocaust of Hitler. And Hitler's was absolute whore. But I want you to know what's going to happen. When that dragon and those angels come to the earth, they know their time is short, and they start trying to work themselves toward Jerusalem and toward Israel and destroy Israel, and an eagle is going to steer the remnant of Israel to a place of protection. And some people believe that place of protection is a place in Jordan called Petra. Now, I don't know that, but I do know this. The devil cannot and will not destroy Israel. It will look bad. And then that war, and Daniel 11 talks about a Middle East campaign and the other Muslim nations of the Antichrist. But it all leads up to a battle in Joel 3, in Zechariah 14. In Revelation 19, the last battle of all battles, the battle of Armageddon. Now, you people, how many's going to Israel with me? I'm going to take you there. We'll take you to Megiddo. I saw the day we're going this week. And just imagine the Lord Jesus coming down through Megiddo, destroying the armies of the world. Napoleon called it the greatest battlefield of all. And he destroys them. Goes down to the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives cleaves. That's found, by the way, that's found in Zechariah 14. It said the Lord himself is going to come with the saints. You want to know who's going to ride those white horses in Revelation 19? You. Woo! Now, I want you to study this out. I won't teach this tonight. But there's going to be a last battle. There's going to be a millennial kingdom. Look at me. Are y'all learning anything tonight? It's going to be a millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. Read in Revelation 20. Mentioned 6 times. And the devil's going to be bound for 1,000 years. There'll be a perfect reign of Christ. There will be people from the tribulation period going in natural bodies into that millennial kingdom, and they'll have children. And at the end of the millennium, the devil's loose for a short season. And listen to this. It'll show you how depraved we are. Our people in a human body are. He's going to deceive the nations. And they're going to be a great battle. Hello? And it's called Gog and Magog. I got a belief about this. Remember I said that there was a seventh left of that evil Russia? I want you to know Russia is an evil empire. And that will be the foundation of that battle of Gog and Magog at the end of time. And God then is going to send fire down from heaven. Destroy a whole bunch. Somebody say amen. And we're going to win. And the devil's going to lose. There's times in my Christian life, and I know there's times in your Christian life, you feel like, man, he's winning. He's not winning. He's a doomed devil. You say, but he's causing me grief. I want to tell you, there'll be a day there ain't going to be no more grief. He's going to wipe all tears out of our eyes. You say, when's that happen? That happens after the white throne judgment, after the devil's thrown in hell. He'll make all things new. A holy city, New Jerusalem, will come down out of heaven. That's where I'm living. Have a street of gold and walls of jasper and a city that was 1,500 miles square. Woo! That ought to make somebody want to shout. Now, how many of you in your mind says, I've got a question or two for you. I'll tell you what. Why don't you do this down for me? Write it down. Write your question. Any questions you have on this lesson and what we've done in Revelation so far, write it down. And go to our website, TayValleyBaptist.com. Is that to TayValleyBaptist.com? And just give the question. And that'll give me a few days to at least prep a little bit. And I'll answer some of your questions. We'll just have an open forum. But I need you to cooperate. All you got to do is go to the website, put that down, your questions down. Don't put your name down. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. I just want to answer your questions. Amen? See, there's a lot of preachers that wouldn't open themselves up to that. But I want to tell you, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm going to give reason for the hope. Now, here's my question to you. Look at me real carefully. I want to ask you a question. If you died today, you know you're going to heaven? Come on now. Are you sure? Not your religion. Not your religion. Hey, listen. I want to ask you another thing. Are you a real saved? Are you saved? Are you a separated Christian? Are you living holy and separated? And I'm going to tell you what. You not only need to separate yourself from evil things, you need to separate yourself from evil doctrine. Amen. You can't allow it. I know children today that are confused because mom and dad married and they didn't believe like each other and it messed the whole home up and eventually ended up in a disaster. Am I preaching good? Amen. Bow your head with me. I just want to make sure. How many of you die today know you're going to heaven? Raise your hand high. I think all of you. Stand and we'll I believe everybody's saved tonight. Be sure, TaysValleyBaptist.com, go to our email, send a question about what I'm talking about. Don't go sending who's Cain's wife. I ain't answering that. Not next week anyway. Dan, good seeing your wife tonight. You and your wife, especially your wife. I'm kidding. Y'all sang so good, and you and your wife, we're so glad for you. Thank God that you're here tonight. Let's dismiss. Our Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth that we was able to get out. I know we didn't get far in the lesson, but I wanted to review and constantly keep it before the people some truths. And Lord, just help our folks glean the Word of God, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of y'all got something out of tonight. Why don't you share this? Go to social media and share our Facebook social media so folks get to hear this.